Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. LeBron is coming to town and so is Blake Griffin. This is the episode for Tuesday, January 30th. It's Blake Griffin Day in Detroit. This is your host, Matt Shook. You can find me on Twitter at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. And you can find me on Twitter at Locked On Pistons for the show Twitter feed as well. We got a Facebook page now at Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Give us a like and join on the conversation there. But hey, you know, we talked about the salary cap issues down the road and the big contract that Blake Griffin has on the emergency podcast on Monday night. Certainly there are some problems with that, but as the tip-off for tonight's game gets closer against the Cleveland Cavaliers, the beasts of the East, the team to beat in the Eastern Conference without a doubt, you can't help but be excited, can you, Pistons fans? I mean, like we said, maybe there's a short-sightedness in this move. Maybe Stan Van Gundy has given his last home run swing and could definitely whiff over the next year or so, and we might find some of this stuff out very soon. But, hey, it's exciting to have a superstar caliber player in Detroit. It's exciting to have a new fresh face, a new toy, a new car to play with, and we'll see how it goes here on the court, hopefully tonight, if everything gets cleared up. It's taping this early on Monday morning. I haven't heard yet if Griffin will be in uniform tonight, but hopefully Blake will be here sooner rather than later because there's an 8-game losing streak to address for his new team. But we're going to look ahead to that game against the Cleveland Cavaliers and also give some listener reaction to the Blake Griffin deal. I threw out the query on Twitter to see what people thought, and I'm going to read out some of those comments as well. And also we're going to be joined by Lucas Han of Locked On Clippers as he is going to be telling us what he thinks about the trade as part of the Locked On Network as well. So we've got Draft Wednesday coming up on draft.com and the Draft app as well, so use promo code LOPISTONS after you download that to get free entry into the Locked On Pistons Wednesday contest and all the other contests you could join as well. We're going to be doing one every Wednesday, so follow me on the app at Matt Shook for the handle there. And if you use, like I said, promo code LOPISTONS, you'll get $3 of free entry into the draft. So hope to see you on there and join us. All the Pistons fans, we got it going every Wednesday. So I appreciate everyone who's joining. And if you have already joined, tell your friends about it as well to come join us on the app. So Cleveland, the Cavs, coming to town. So is Blake Griffin. As I tape this early on Tuesday, still don't have confirmation that he's playing tonight, but I would think so, unless there's an issue with physicals or something paperwork-wise with the trade. The trade happened a while ago, over 24 hours now, so guys are used to traveling quickly and being mobile. The Clippers last played in New Orleans on Sunday night, but we're back home in Los Angeles for tonight's game. They're playing against Portland, a game that instead will have guys like Tobias Harris and Avery Bradley and Boban Marjanovic suiting up for Doc Rivers' team. If you haven't heard the news, and by now I don't know how you'd be listening to this podcast and haven't heard, but Blake Griffin, along with Willie Reed and Bryce Johnson, are coming over to the Pistons in a trade for Tobias Harris, Avery Bradley, Boban Marjanovic, a top four protected first round pick, but assuming that the Pistons pick falls out of the top four, that will be the Clippers' first round pick next year, and also a future second round pick. I still haven't seen the particulars about that second round pick, but I'm not that worried about it as it is a second round pick. I would imagine that the Pistons wouldn't trade their second round pick for next year, seeing as though maybe that's conditionally tied to win the first round pick at least. That's probably it. I'm just thinking out loud now. But anyway, as for the Pistons and the Cavs, 8 o'clock tonight Eastern on TNT. So obviously the NBA will do whatever they can to get Blake in uniform for a big nationally televised game. The Cavs are 2-point road favorites after knocking off the Pistons on Sunday night and generally being a much better team than the Pistons, even though the fact that they are struggling recently and really didn't look all that good on Sunday night while dispatching the Pistons, but lost in the hoopla of the trade is that Detroit is still on that pesky 8-game losing streak. That didn't end with the trade, and they need to win right away if they're going to make some sort of run back into the Eastern Conference playoff standings. By the way, Dwayne Wade is supposed to be back with the Cavs tonight. Coach Ty Lue said that before Sunday's game that Wade will be back in uniform for the Cavs. So all sorts of glitz and glamour and superstars from the Cavs in Detroit kind of reminds you back of the LeBron versus the going to work teams from 07 and 08 and all the times that they met in the playoffs back in the day as well. But what else can I say about this? There's a lot to be excited about. I know I'm sounding like an optimistic slappy right now, but you know, it's one thing to criticize the trade. It's one thing to talk about 5 years from now, $38 million. And I get it. And I agree. Thinking with your head, there's a lot of reasons to be skeptical about this whole thing. But if you can enjoy a five-time All-Star at 28 years old in his prime, and I know that he's had injuries. I know he's not the same guy as he was jumping over cars when he was an NBA rookie, and he's got all sorts of possible red flags here. But if you can't get excited about a guy like that joining your team, then I don't know why you would even be watching sports anyway. My guess for tonight is the start, or whenever Griffin joins the team and is ready on the court, the starting lineup is probably going to be Ish Smith again until Reggie Jackson returns from injury. It looks like that Langston Galloway as a start was a short-lived experiment. And then you'll probably have Luke Kennard getting in the starting lineup at the two guard. He has started a couple games early on in the season, so that won't be too new for him. You'll probably have Bullock or Stanley based on how the wind's blowing at the three spot. And then, of course, Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond will be starting in the front court. I'll be interested to see how Tolliver fits with Blake as far as Anthony playing so well lately, had the big shooting night on Sunday night against the Cavs, how he fits. I mean, his outside game will allow Blake to go inside. And then, of course, the pairing of Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin on the court, how much will they play together? I'm sure it'll be the beginning of the game, at the end of the game. But when they mix it up, will they go either or for the middle of the game? We will see. And then, of course, some of the other guys, Bryce Johnson, will he go to Grand Rapids? Willie Reed, what's the situation with him? Is he going to get the bulk of Eric Moreland's minutes at backup center? I would hope so, although you got to laud the effort that Eric Moreland has been given this season. And also how much guys like Stanley Johnson is impacted by this move and the fact that you got a little subtraction, a lot of subtraction in the backcourt, and that Johnson's going to be asked to score a lot more and be more consistent as an offensive player. He's been up and down, even when he's been good this year for stretches, which has been lately for him. He's been up and down game to game, it seems like, that his offense kind of comes and goes. But you would hope that a guy like him at 21 years old would see that this is now not only an opportunity for him to play well, but it's his responsibility to play well if he's going to want to have a long career and go get a nice contract after this next season. So Stanley Johnson's got a little bit of spotlight on him, and hopefully he responds well to that, as his career has obviously been an up and down one with more valleys than peaks, I would say, so far this year. The point guard issues still remain for the Pistons. Those didn't go away, but we'll see how Griffin coexists with those guys as well and the rest of the team. It'll be a work in progress. Tough to get any kind of semblance of organized offense in with a guy who's going to come in and play over 30 minutes right away. But really, tonight, a fascinating must-watch game. Even if he doesn't suit up for some reason, you got to believe there's going to be a little bit of buzz around the team just because of what is to come. And, of course, LeBron being in town always brings a few extra eyeballs as well. And when was the last time we said that? The Pistons are playing in a must-watch game. And the topic that might have been the biggest topic of the game if these developments didn't happen on Monday. The Pistons will be wearing the City Edition unis from Nike for the first time. They have the dark blue ones with the gray trim that you may have seen online. It's got Motor City across the chest. Nike's newest baby. So maybe go out and buy a Nike City Edition Blake Griffin jersey, as you know that it will be probably one you could wear for the next 5 years, because when you get a contract like that, it's going to be difficult for the Pistons to move. But I'm sure you've got reaction, and I threw out the query to you guys on Twitter, and I got some listener reaction. I'm going to read off some of those about the move. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men in that coveted 18 to 44 demo, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. Yes! And a little bit later on in the show, we got Lucas Han of Locked On Clippers, who dropped in a little segment about the Clippers' perspective on the trade, talking about the Blake Griffin era and what he meant to a franchise that was nowhere before he was drafted by them several years back. So an interesting listen to that. So we'll have that too as well. But I got some listener reaction to the trade, threw it out there on Twitter for you guys, and some of you guys responded. Anthony Masseri says, I don't hate what they gave up, but his contract scares me. Blake Griffin obviously has got the five-year, $171 million deal, a player option for 4 years from now, where he will be up to making $39 million a year. That was the one that stands out. He's a guy who's 28 years old right now, and the final year of his contract will be the year that he turns 33 in March. So, and he's probably going to be an old 33. He's already an old 28 with the surgeries and issues that he's had. And he's a guy who's relied so much on his athleticism in his young career. You can see adding a three-pointer this year. We've all seen the numbers, probably, if you're like me and you've been reading about this trade so much these last few hours. But, you know, he's up to his highest career rates in terms of made three-pointers and attempted three-pointers as well. So doing his best to adapt his game, a superior passer from the post as well, and the high post too. So it'll be interesting to see the ball move around a little bit more with Drummond and Griffin being such able passers as they are for the Detroit Pistons now. Fluffy Sock Ninja, one of our favorite listeners, has said, "History has shown that Griff, a non-shooting center and a great point guard, doesn't get you anywhere. So are there more moves to come, or are we just set to be average for the foreseeable future?" I've seen this line of thought out there that the Pistons are just trying to duplicate what the Clippers did, because Andre Drummond is so much like DeAndre Jordan, and then you have a point guard in Reggie Jackson, who's the third best player on the team, and then and obviously Reggie Jackson's no Chris Paul, but Chris Paul was the third member of the top three in LA as well, and that team always seemed to fall short of expectations and always disappointed. Well, guess what? The Eastern Conference is a lot different than the Western Conference in that it's easier for them to get there. I bet those Clippers teams would have gone to the finals at least once if they were playing in the Eastern Conference. And I'm not saying that the Pistons are going to be just as good as Lob City or really anything similar to Lob City. It's a whole different set of characters. It's a whole different blueprint. I mean, the Pistons aren't done making moves. Probably at this deadline, they might be looking to make some more moves. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. And then this summer, you got to be thinking about some other big picture moves as well. They're a little bit tied to Reggie Jackson right now, especially if he doesn't show much in terms of health coming back from the injury before this offseason. They're probably stuck with him for next year, for better or worse. I mean, he's a guy who's not as attractive to other teams because there's a lot of good point guards out in the league. But when he's been healthy, he's proven to be a very good point guard, kind of a middle-of-the-pack type guy in terms of starting point guards. And we'll see if that's enough for the Pistons. And obviously, when he's bad and when he's hurting, when he's missing, the Pistons are terrible without him. And when he's bad, he's really bad, like he was pretty much throughout all of last season. But again, so many different circumstances than this team and the Clippers did. I mean, we know how much the NBA is a character league. It's a chemistry league. I mean, how these players all fit together, what kind of defense is being played by the other bit players, what kind of shooting is being provided by the other bit players as well, how those top three guys remain healthy. That was a lot of the problems with Lob City and the Clippers back then, is because it seemed like one of those guys was always getting injured. And of course, that possibility still remains with the Pistons and Blake Griffin, and of course Reggie Jackson too, being often injured as well. Clark New, KNU on Twitter, says, "Horrible." I think he probably means horrible, but terrible. "Can't believe we didn't even get off Lure. It's so bad. So much money to give up picks to take on." So yeah, I mean, obviously the contract is a sticking point, and it's by far the biggest negative, especially when you tie into the fact that Blake Griffin has had the problems with the knees and everything else that he's had problems with injury-wise over the years. Well, they didn't get rid of John Luer. It's the worst asset that the Pistons have, but they did get rid of the Boban contract. I think we can all agree that that's a win. We all like Boban on Twitter and social media, and he's a likable guy, of course, but just not worth the four-year deal that the Pistons gave him going into last season. I Am Brew on Twitter goes on to say, "I think this either works out and the Pistons make the playoffs, or Blake is injured before the season is over. No playoffs. Stan Van Gundy is gone, and there's no draft picks left to rebuild. And I'm really concerned that people aren't talking about the draft pick as a loss. I don't care about losing Bradley and Tobias, but with losing a draft pick, this better work. Risky move for sure." Absolutely, it's a risky move. There's no doubt about that. Stan Van Gundy's really putting himself out there. I don't see how Blake getting injured this year or Reggie not coming back this year. Again, for better or worse, Stan Van Gundy has bought himself another year with this deal. I don't see how Tom Gores can okay this trade and then not see to it that Stan Van Gundy gets a chance to make it work. Now, that saves Tom Gores some money because he doesn't have to buy out the last year of Stan Van Gundy's contract when he fires him. But again, I think it's only fair that if you're going to be the owner who okays this kind of roster change, you got to give the coach a little bit more time to go into it. And just thinking about what next year could have been if the Pistons kind of fizzled out, didn't make the playoffs this year, didn't make this kind of move, really didn't have a whole lot of roster flexibility, what going into next year into a lame duck Stan Van Gundy fifth year could have been. And it was just a depressing thought. And I had some of those thoughts as I was going into yesterday's podcast in the morning before the trade. But, you know, now that they've made this deal, there's obviously going to be excitement tonight and for a couple weeks during this homestand. But I think that kind of continues into next year, as even if things don't go well this year, hopefully Reggie Jackson is healthy going into next season. Hopefully Blake Griffin is healthy going into next season as well, and that there's at least some reason for hope and optimism in terms of going into next year. And if they flop and struggle next year, then obviously you know for certain that Stan Van Gundy's gone. That's the thing that I was kind of worried about when everyone was asking about Stan Van Gundy's future this spring or this winter as the Pistons started their second long slide of the season, is that you weren't going to have a concrete answer. You weren't going to have – the Reggie Jackson injury was enough of an excuse for Tom Gores to bring back Stan Van Gundy. So all those people who wanted him fired, they probably weren't going to get it, and next year was going to be a pretty miserable year without a bold move like this. So Stan Van's putting himself out there, and we'll see how it goes. The Husky Vegan on Twitter says, after years and years and years of no star and low teen draft picks, I'm glad we bossed up and got an all-star. We'll figure out the rest later. No nuts, no glory. Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good, I think that's pretty good take from the Pistons fans. I mean, there's just been nothing to cheer about for 10 years. There's been some waves of Andre Drummond, good play. Reggie Jackson, good play as well. Two seasons ago, they had a pretty good season to put their flag down on and think that things might be turning around. But as far as something to really pay for and something to really watch night in and night out, it hasn't really been there, and Blake Griffin could be an answer to that. Scott Landisher on Twitter says, it should help attendance and interest for a while, but not a good move for winning basketball games. Interesting to see how Blake Griffin enjoys playing / living here after his celebrity status in LA. Yes, I'm sure you've seen the stand-up comedy clips, the appearances on TV shows, the commercials as well. He signed up for 5 more years in LA, obviously, when he could have gone to anywhere in the country, and he stayed in LA. So guys like that usually don't, the rap is they usually don't work out here in Detroit. So, and as Detroiters, we know how regional and provincial that we are, and we know how much pride we take in people who get it and people who like it here in Detroit. And we know how much we sometimes don't like outsiders as well. So that will be probably one of the more interesting off-court subplots to see is Kendall Jenner. Will she make an appearance around town? I don't know. I'm going to plead ignorance. I don't know much about the Kardashians and Jenners and really what Blake Griffin's status with Kendall Jenner is, but I've been told that there's enough of it there to keep an eye out on. So if you know more about that, then let me know. But how will that fit in? Obviously winning basketball games, as Scott Landisher points out on Twitter, it's going to be an issue, especially 4 or 5 years from now. But the excitement should be enough to hold over fans, at least in the short term. We'll see how it goes in the standings over the next few years. Bleach Blonde Darko on Twitter says, not enough protections on the pick, and Griffin is really, really expensive. He is also injury prone. It could work out, but the framework for this to be a total disaster is there as well. As far as protections on the pick, there's basically no protections on the pick. I mean, when you're talking about a top four, that's just Stan Van Gundy's way of averting complete disaster and having the Pistons, finish in the 11th, 12th spot or something like that in the draft going into next year and then hitting the lottery. So, just in case that happens, they threw those protections in there. And like I mentioned on the emergency podcast yesterday, I thought it was really funny that it was the top four protected and not top three protected, especially for next season. There's pretty much no scenario where the Pistons fall into the standings to the bottom two or three teams in the NBA to where the fourth pick would need to be protected. I mean, you can see, like I said, the lottery, striking the lottery and getting into the top three, but I just don't see why the top four needed to be protected. Nathan Landowski asks, do you think they make any other deals? I'm not really well connected with the beat right now in terms of having relationships and sources, and I don't even think the guys who are well connected know much either. I mean, Stan Van Gundy, that's part of the deal with having such a singular presence at the top of the franchise, is that he's kind of the one making the decisions, and he doesn't have a lot of leaks come out. We've noticed that when Stan Van Gundy makes a deal, you don't hear anything about it until it's basically done. We heard Adrian Wojnarowski have a report that Avery Bradley's available a couple years later. He's on the way to a couple hours later, he's on the way to the Clippers, and the Pistons have a whole new roster in front of them. So as far as leaks coming out or things I don't know or know is going to happen. We had Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer mention how the Pistons were in trade talks looking to possibly acquire Rodney Hood, the Duke player from the Utah Jazz, and even mentioned that Stanley Johnson was involved in those discussions. So that one might be one to keep an eye on over the next week or so, but anything outside of that I haven't heard of. Adam Trudeau says that last year $39 million player option is still unnerving. True, his contract in that is it, and then I mentioned to him that the 5-year contract is still in the realm of a reasonable prime to expect of a player. It's not like the Tigers locking up Miggy Cabrera till over 40 years old with the $30 million deal. He comes in to say that his contract is in that prime region. The good thing though is Josh Smith should be off the books by then, should Stan Bauer and Jeff Bauer or the next general manager use another wave stretch provision to eat the rest of that contract for a trade. Not like he's making reference to cutting Josh Smith, using the stretch provision, and how we're still on the cap paying about $5 million a year for Josh Smith to not play for the Detroit Pistons. So that's some of the listener reaction. I think most of the Twitter surveys that I've kind of checked out and the people that I follow, and I follow a lot of you guys who are listening on Twitter, it's mostly negative. I think that's kind of the product of being following this team. If you've watched all the losing and all the malaise for 10 years, you're pretty much almost out on Stan Van Gundy anyway. You're pretty much going to be predisposed to dislike situations like this and moves like this. But hey, give it a chance. We'll see how Blake Griffin does. There's nothing we can do about it as fans. I don't know that there's too many Detroiters that are going to be giving up on the Pistons or giving up on NBA basketball. So we'll see how it goes. And if it struggles and it all blows up and Griffin blows out his knee once again, we can all mourn together here on Locked On Pistons. But also on Locked On Lions, speaking of mourning, you should be listening to Matt Derry of Detroit Radio. He has a daily podcast on the Detroit Leos. You should be checking that out every day. And also all the other NBA podcasts. We got one for every NFL team and every NBA team. The Locked On Network has got you covered for all of those teams. And speaking of that, Lucas Han of Locked On Clippers is going to be dropping in next segment to tell us about their perspective from Monday's big trade. But the Locked On Network has you covered, your team, every day.
So, the Clippers traded Blake Griffin. I'm Lucas Han, host of the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm going to walk you through the Clippers' perspective on this deal. The first thing that you have to know about this deal is it's tremendously emotionally impactful for Clippers fans, probably in a way that it doesn't impact the new members of the front office, Steve Ballmer, who's owned the team for a few years, Jerry West, who's newly brought in. Blake Griffin was picked with the Clippers' first overall pick in 2009. He's been at the center of every discussion regarding the organization in the last 9 years. He scored over 10,000 points for the team. He's been an All-Star 5 times. He's been on an All-NBA team 4 times. He is a phenomenal, phenomenal player, and in a big part, even more than the Chris Paul era, the overall Blake Griffin era, which started before and now stretched half a season after Chris Paul's time with the team, lifted the Clippers out of irrelevance and kind of put them on the national map, put them in nationally televised games, put them in SportsCenter highlights in a way that they just hadn't been before, and probably in a way that a lot of other teams or fan bases might not be able to understand, because there are few teams in sports that were as irrelevant before that 2009 draft as the Clippers had been. But Blake Griffin made the team relevant. He made people care about them. And even with all of his faults, with his shortcomings, he certainly is not someone who was popular with other fan bases around the league, but he is a guy who has meant a lot to the Clippers and their fans over the last decade. And so it means a lot to these fans that Blake Griffin has been moved. But from the front office's perspective, they almost can't afford to look at it in that emotional light. And they felt as though Blake Griffin, about to turn 29 years old in March, with his injury history, having missed significant amounts of games in each of the last 3 years, having missed 15 games so far this season, seemingly always getting banged up and hurt just in time for the playoffs, and not being at his best in the postseason, and with a massive 5-year contract that the Clippers just had to give him last summer to retain him, they felt like it was something that they had to get out of for the long-term benefit of the team and of being able to build a winning and championship-contending team. Frankly, they felt like paying Blake Griffin $30 million a year this year and more in each of the next 4 years after this one was not something that they could build a championship team around. And that's not something that is easy to swallow for Clippers fans who have loved Blake Griffin for so many years. It's, you know, maybe it's not something that ends up being a good trade. The package they got for him certainly isn't something that blows you away. It wasn't some godfather offer. They got Tobias Harris, Avery Bradley, Boban Marjanovic, a 2018 first round pick and 2019 second round pick from the Pistons, which is a decent package, but I think it's the kind of package that says to me the Clippers were looking to move Blake Griffin to get out from under this contract to try to retool and rebuild on the fly, rather than the Pistons called the Clippers with some phenomenal offer that blew the Clippers away and they just had to trade Blake Griffin even though it wasn't something that they wanted to do. And so I think that this is a really, really telling move for where the front office is, how they evaluate this roster and the other players on the roster, and what they think the right move is going forward for this team with, you know, in regards to other trades and other free agency moves. I think the Clippers are going to continue to sell talent at the deadline, which is not something that I necessarily foresaw them doing. I certainly didn't think they would move Blake Griffin, but guys like Lou Williams, guys like DeAndre Jordan, even a newcomer like Avery Bradley, are all guys that the Clippers could look to move in the next 10 days as we head towards the trade deadline, trying to acquire more draft picks, more young talent, create more cap flexibility going forward. It is going to be fascinating to see what this franchise and front office does in the next 10 days and in the weeks and months to come heading into the draft and free agency. And it's really, really going to be interesting to me to track in the next 5 years how this trade looks for each team, both in how Blake Griffin, whether he's able to stay healthy or not, what his production levels look like in Detroit, how his game ages as he reaches 32 years old at the end of his contract, and how his deal may limit Detroit's cap flexibility. On the other hand, from the Clippers' perspective, are they ever able to find a talent like Blake Griffin again to build this team around? And if they aren't, it could be a failure, even if the contract would have been crippling. So it's definitely something that's going to be really, really interesting to keep an eye on. If you want more coverage of this deal and of the Clippers heading into the trade deadline, be sure to check out the Locked On Clippers podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Lucas J. Han and check out clipsnation.com.
Thanks to Lucas Han of Locked On Clippers for that perspective. But this has been Matt Shook. And enjoy the game tonight, Pistons fans. A big game with the national spotlight. The Cavaliers and LeBron are in town. New Piston Blake Griffin, hopefully in uniform, with his new team as the Detroit Pistons begin a new era of basketball under Stan Van Gundy's tutelage. And we will see together how it unfolds. I'm excited. I don't know what you guys think. Let me know what you guys think on Twitter and in Facebook about this new development, this new team. And enjoy the game tonight. Thanks for listening, everyone. And we'll talk to you all again soon.